In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and to the ages of all ages. Amen. This evening is the Vespers, raising of incense for the Feast of Pentecost. And as we and the entire Church celebrates the coming of the Holy Spirit, the descending of the Holy Spirit upon the holy disciples and the saintly apostles, I'd like to meditate on a verse in 1 Corinthians 3:16. This verse is very much known to all of us, and we repeat it, especially to the young people. It is valid for all the people. It goes as follows. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Then the passage continues by saying, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Holy Spirit of God has been at work ever since eternity. We meet him at the beginning of the book of Genesis. Just right around the beginning of the creation. And we see right at the beginning of the book, God is telling us, the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering above the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was present. The Hebrew word that is used here is the word Ruach. And the word Ruach may be translated into three words in English. It could mean wind, could mean breath, and it also could mean spirit. Pneuma is the Greek word. Pneuma in Parakleton, the Holy Spirit. Also the word Ruach, what does it sound like in Arabic? Ruh, because the H and the Kha in the Hebrew, the Arabic H would be a Hebrew Kha. So Ruach or Ruh would be the same word. The Spirit of God was hovering above the waters. And God said, let there be light. And as God created all of humanity, he breathed into them the Holy Spirit. He gave them of his Spirit. And this is how you and I have become created in his own image and likeness. Because again, the same word, we said that it could mean three things. It could mean breath, it could mean wind, and it could mean spirit. And as God created humans, he breathed into them. So again, the same beautiful word. So we understand that from the beginning, God's intention for you and I is to make a home for himself in us. Human beings are created in his own image and likeness. And thus we are led by the Spirit. One of the beautiful analogies that His Holiness Pope Shenouda has used is as follows. One person asked him, Your Holiness, what does it mean to be a spiritual person? What does it mean? He said that, let's try to imagine having a horse and a carriage. And then this horse and carriage has someone who is directing it and steering it. His Holiness symbolized that the body is like the carriage, and the spirit is the horse. So a spiritual person would be the person who is being pulled, the carriage is being pulled by the horse. But on top of them all, the Holy Spirit is directing both the horse and the carriage. So the person who is riding, who has the control of the horse and the carriage, would be the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God is in control of the entire life, and He is the one who steers the horse and the carriage. And this is what it means to be a spiritual person. He said that a spiritual person is the one whose spirit is leading his body, and the Holy Spirit is leading both the body and his own spirit. So the Holy Spirit is in control of all in all. Unfortunately, when sin entered into the world by the envy of the evil one and the obedience of us as human beings, this image was distorted a little bit. And thus there was a need for salvation. There was a need for the shedding of blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And thus the Lord Jesus Christ, as He went up on the wood of the cross, He redeemed us and saved us and returned human beings once more to their first glorified estate. And thus St. Paul tells us today in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit dwells in you?" Now, after the fall of humans, the Holy Spirit dwelt in these human beings, especially in the Old Testament, temporarily, for a specific reason. Three types of people were anointed by the holy oil. The prophet of God came and he poured out the oil on them. And these were the prophets, the priests, and the kings. And as they were anointed by the holy oil, the Spirit of God came upon them and dwelt in them, but just temporarily. And we see from the story of Saul that he was anointed, he was chosen by God to be king, and Samuel came to anoint him, and he received the Spirit of God, especially looking at 1 Samuel chapter 10. But the problem is that when he disobeyed the command of God, the Spirit of God left him, departed away from him, did not dwell in him anymore. And another evil spirit came upon him, for the Lord had rejected him. And again, David was anointed later as king in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And he went to the house of Jesse the Bethlehemite, and God told him, "Out of this household I want to anoint a king." He went inside and asked Jesse to bring his children. Seven brothers came in front of him. Eliab, and when he was presented in front of him, the Lord rejected him. He was not the chosen one. And several other, all of them passed, all seven brothers passed by, and the Lord had rejected all of them. And such a beautiful verse was mentioned here in this passage, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." The Lord looks at the heart. He didn't choose all these seven brothers because they were older or more, stronger or better looking, whatever it is. The Lord's criteria for choosing human beings is much different than we look at each other and at one another. The Lord looks at the heart. And then there remained the young one who was ruddy. He was blonde a little bit, and he was playing his harp. And he came and presented him in front of Samuel. And the Lord said the following. The Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. So the Spirit of God came upon him on that day as he was anointed. And thus David became one of the greatest kings in the history of Israel, as he led his people by the Spirit of God. And this is what some people term theocracy. We have democracy, the people rule themselves, but David ruled the people by the Spirit of God. God led him to rule them. And this is, God is the one who leads his people by the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, we find that the Spirit led Christ all the way. As a matter of fact, the Gospel of St. Luke and the Book of Acts, which was also written by St. Luke, you find that the Holy Spirit is leading St. Luke to manifest himself to the world. Because we believe that the Holy Scriptures is the inspired Word of God. How is it inspired? Holy and righteous men spoke as they were led and moved by the Holy Spirit. And thus we see, of course, the work of the Spirit in all of the Gospels, but especially in the Gospel of St. Luke, there is so much more mention of the Holy Spirit, as well as the Book of Acts, which could also be called the Book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Not just the Acts of the Apostles, but it could be termed the Book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because everything in it was done by the Spirit of God and through the Holy Spirit. There are so many mentions of the Holy Spirit in the Gospels and in the Book of Acts, but we will just mention very quickly a few of them. As the birth of Christ was announced to the Virgin Mary in Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, that Holy One who is born of you will be called Son of God." As Simeon, the elder, enters into the temple to receive the baby Jesus in his hands, everything is done by the Holy Spirit. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, etc. We find in the beginning of the ministry of our Lord Jesus, Luke chapter 4, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And of course, as we know, in the beginning of the Book of Acts, God is telling us that we need the Holy Spirit, that our bodies are not our own, but we are a temple of God, and the Holy Spirit abides in us. St. Paul says, "Don't you know that you are the temple of God?" The temple is the holiest place. It is the place where sacrifices are being offered to God Most High. And inside of it also is the Holy of Holies. And this is the place where nothing defiles enters. Always with our idea of the altar or the temple, as we are in the church, it is always customary that we want to act our best. We are in the presence of God. When we are in the temple, we are in the church. We know that this is the house of God. And thus we treat the house of God in the most magnificent and in the most respectable manner. But St. Paul is telling us that, don't you know that you are the temple of God? And this temple deserves to be respected and to be honored. The Lord, as He has given us stewardship over so many things in life, He has also given us stewardship over our bodies. This is a gift and a responsibility from God, not to be mistreated in any way. The Lord said to Moses by the fiery bush in Genesis 3, verse 5, that he should actually take off his shoes or his sandals, because the place where he stands is a holy place. Here are the exact words. In Genesis 3:5. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And then St. Paul repeats to us in the same epistle, 1 Corinthians, and a few chapters later in chapter 6, he repeats on the same message, and he connects it together. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 15 and 19. And he says the following, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. St. Paul gives us a whole new dimension to look at ourselves. Some people said that we should hate ourselves, should hate our bodies, not respect. It is more important to focus on spiritual things, for physical things are just merely passing by. And as a matter of fact, some of the sects which have risen in the last couple of centuries before Christ, and also have continued but withered away in the first couple of centuries after Christ, have focused on punishing the body. And some of the sects up until now, the Islamic sects, or some of the people who go by the Wailing Wall and they beat themselves or hurt themselves or make themselves bleed in any way, thinking that these, by subduing the body or hurting it, you are elevating the spirit. Or some people think that the body was evil, just like the Gnostics. You know, all the Gospels that have come up in the media lately, who were discovered in Egypt, the Gospel of Thomas and the Gospel of Mary Magdalene and the Gospel of Judas, etc. Or they were so-called Gospels, but they are not Gospels really. These were all Gnostic writings. And these sects unfortunately thought that the body is evil. And it was created by mistake. And even Jesus, our Lord Himself, wanted to get away from the body. And that's why they say that He asked Judas to betray Him, because He wants to get rid of this body. But this is not the proper Orthodox Christian view of the body. There is a balance. There is respect to oneself. As a matter of fact, in the confession of the baptism, we say that we believe in the resurrection of the body. Yes, the martyrs may receive some beatings or some tortures, but this is not up to them. They have endured it for the love of Christ. But we should respect and honor this gift from God as we are made stewards over our own bodies. But it also means that not just to, disrespect our bodies, but to be careful, because the body glorifies the spirit. The children of God, as they take care of themselves, you know, we are not speaking about extremes here, because the true beauty is the beauty of the spirit, as St. Peter tells us. But St. Paul has seen so many people disrespect their bodies in the ways that they sin, or in the means that the body may lead to mistakes or sinful behavior. And he is telling them that the body and the spirit go hand in hand. How is it possible at all that I take my members, which are sanctified by the Holy Mairun, 36 times we were anointed in all of our joints, our head, our eyes, our senses, mouth, in the sign of the cross, then the ear, the eyes across, and the other ear, and then we go towards the heart and the back, the will, and my love, my emotions. We go to all the joints in the hand, 6 in each hand, and then also all the joints in the leg, 6 in each leg. 36 times we are consecrated by this holy chrism oil, and we received in it and through it the Spirit of God. How is it possible that I will neglect my actions, my will? Some people say, well, this is fine and dandy, but I will have two different parallel lives. I will do what is God's, what is spiritual, but I will also live according to flesh and earthly desires. But this is not possible. A Christian person is the person who is well balanced, the one who is able to live according to the Spirit, but also look at the body in an honorable manner. Don't you know that you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwells in you? The temple is free from all sins. The temple is a holy place where offerings and gifts and sacrifices are being presented to the Lord of hosts. It is where the Holy of Holies exists. One of the beautiful songs that we sing says, take me to the Holy of Holies. Take me to that beautiful temple where I can meet God face to face. And the question is that, do other people come to us to meet God face to face? Do they see in us the Spirit of God as a blessed place where they can just have and be in touch and connect to the Lord? Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? The Spirit of God now will not depart from us. Unlike the Old Testament, where the people who were unrighteous, the Spirit of God just departed from them. Now the Spirit of God dwells in us. Dwells means has a home in our hearts and in our bodies and our minds and soul. And nothing will take him away from us. Some of the discussion that happened around the time of St. Augustine concerning the rebaptism of the heretics. Some people during the persecution to the church, they denied their faith. And they gave in. After the persecution was over, some of them wanted to return back to the church. So the church gathered and said, what should we do with these people? Do they need to be rebaptized? Do they need to receive the Holy Spirit once more? And the general consensus of the church at that time was, no. Once you have received the Holy Spirit, He has made an abode, a dwelling place in your heart and in your life for eternity. Maybe sometimes through our actions or through our own free will, we will diminish the work of the Spirit. Maybe it will be like a small flame. Maybe it will not be like a fiery flame. You see how the apostles received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, like divided tongues of fire. They were inflamed with the Spirit. And the person who is being led by the Spirit is a person who is dynamic and eager to live by the commandments and to live and to abide in His Word. But these people have strayed away. What should we do with them? No, the Spirit of God still dwells in them. He has made a home in their hearts, and He will never depart. And thus the consensus was for them just to repent. And they are not in need for re-baptism. And thus the fire of the Spirit will be rekindled in their lives again. The question that I offer to myself before I offer to anyone is that, is your life offered as a sacrifice for the Lord? St. Paul tells us in Hebrews 13:15, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Is my life an offered sacrifice? Even the praise of my tongue and my mouth in itself is a sacrifice. If I fully know that I am the temple of God and the Holy Spirit abides in me, then my tongue cannot stop from praising Him and speaking about Him. And this is how I know that I am led by the Spirit. I will no longer quench the Spirit who abides in me, but I will make Him very much alive. And this will be noticed not only by the closest people to me in my own home and with my friends, but even by strangers. As people come into our assembly, they fully understand and know and feel that the Spirit of God is present in this place, is present in our homes, is present in our workplace with our colleagues. My life is a sacrifice of praise. In Psalm 141, verse 2, the psalmist tells us, let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. What is this sacrifice that will be offered in the temple? Don't you know that you are the temple of God? A temple definitely has the altar, and on it we offer sacrifices. What are these sacrifices? The sacrifice is one of humility. And this is what David the prophet tells us in the famous psalm. The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. This is one of the greatest measures of means if we are being led by the Spirit. A broken and a contrite heart. We're not speaking about, again, diminishing the body or neglecting its needs. No, living a moderate life, but living it in humility. And this is a beautiful means to show the sacrifice that we offer on our altar of the heart. The other sacrifice that we can offer is the sacrifice of joy. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing praises to the Lord in Psalm 27. Verse 6, offer the sacrifice of joy is another one. Humility and joy go hand in hand. Not so much puffed up in the spirit, but humble, the contrite heart, the beautiful spirit that St. Peter speaks about, the beauty of the inner person, not merely the outside appearance, but the beauty of the inside person who is in front of God worth so much. We tell Him, Lord, I give You my heart and soul and all my deeds and actions, my whole life as a living sacrifice. As You did, so I will do. As You offered Yourself as a sacrifice, I will offer You also my sacrifice of praise, my tongue, my worship, my humility, but also living it in joy. Finally, the last part of the verse, and the Holy Spirit abides in us. The Holy Spirit abides in us. Our Lord Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, that I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will ask of the Father, and He will give you another Comforter who will abide with you for eternity. This is the Spirit of Truth. And this is exactly the feeling that we have about the Holy Spirit. That we are not orphans, we are not on our own. As the Spirit abides in you and I, He is very much alive and active. And He is the one who offers us consolation and strength in time of weakness. The Holy Spirit descended upon the holy disciples with all kinds of strength, and He filled them with all power that made them speak in so many different tongues and languages. And He used to work in them with so much strength, to the point that He made Saint Peter, the one who denied Christ in front of a servant girl, go up and speak to thousands with all kinds of strength and power. This power was not of His own, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit. They were not afraid. They were beaten. They were thrown in jail. And they endured so much strife and struggles for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the sake of their faith. He gave them a new beginning, and He opened their eyes. It is all because He dwells in them. He is not just coming as a guest whom they knew that He would stay for a bit and then leave. They are now the temples of God, and the Holy Spirit abides in them. He stays and He opens every room in the house. And this is the beautiful exercise that maybe you and I can take together. We are going to look at the body or our person as a house. And every day we open a new door to allow the Holy Spirit to work in it, to submit it in front of the throne of God, to tell Him, Lord, by Your Spirit, You are going to change our view on life. First, we're going to open the main door. The main door is the eyes. The eyes are the entrance to all of our senses, to the way that we view the world. And as it has been sanctified by the Holy Byron, as we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in this blessed sacrament, so also our eyes will become a simple eye. It will become an eye not to judge, an eye not to see evil, not to seek after evil. I know that the Spirit of God now abides in me. He is going to sanctify the entrance, the corridor after the main door leading into all of the other rooms. My ears, the hearing. I will not give my ears to the speech of people who will lead me in a stray manner and speak about others and gossip and judging. This is the corridor to the other senses. I'm going to look at the family room, and I will open it to the Holy Spirit today. This is my body. This is my house. I will open the family room in order to sanctify and to ask Him to bless my relationships with my family members, my husband, wife, parents, siblings. This is the place where the altar is built. This is the place where we gather in love. I will go towards the kitchen, and this is the place where we prepare our meals, and the meals are prepared in love. And together with the place where we entertain the guests and also eat with them meals, we will remember the brethren of the Lord, those who are less fortunate. We will remember the kingdom of God, for He is the one who said that the kingdom of God is like a beautiful feast where all will be gathered from all over the world. And we will open this door for Him and tell Him, Lord, You take control over the guest room and over the place where we have our meals together, over our kitchen. Then I will go upstairs and start opening my room that I sleep in. And this is my innermost heart and emotions and feelings. This is the place where I spend time with God. This is the place that I pray and read the Holy Scriptures and say, Lord, this room is now for you. This, my whole heart belongs to you, not just part of it. You are the Lord of this household. I will go to all the rooms of my children and pray there, and ask the Lord to also sanctify it. As we sanctify our guests, also we present them to God and everyone that we may come in contact to. I'll go to the backyard, the place that we have entertainment and fun and run around, and also tell Him, Lord, this aspect and this part of my life, the part where I'm going to have fun, is also sanctified for You. All the times I will not be wasted, but I want it to be anointed for You alone. And thus, truly we feel that we are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit is upon us and abides in us. The Lord, in the Gospel of St. Luke, made such a beautiful verse or quotation from the book of Isaiah from the Old Testament. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." My beloved, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the time when we want to help others and feel the glory of God's presence in our lives, not to waste it, but optimize it for His glory. May His Holy Spirit always abide in us, and may He always work in our life to be a blessing unto others, so that when anyone comes in contact with us, really knows and feels that the Spirit of God is alive in us. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.